CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Good morning. This is Synchronicity. I'm your host, Marie. And today, we are going to be talking with Susan, who is a student of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. So we're going to play a little bit of Ramtha so you get an idea of what Ramtha sounds like. Now, Ramtha is a group or is a specific consciousness. We've been listening to a little bit of Abraham, which is a group consciousness channeled through Esther Hicks. Today, we're going to be listening to Ramtha, who is a consciousness, an ancient warrior. Is that right? From way back in the days of like Atlantis and things like that. And he is channeled through a woman in the States called Jay-Z Knight. Now, if you've seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, Jay-Z Knight is the blonde woman and who had the funny accent. And the reason she had that funny accent is because she was channeling Ramtha, and that is the way Ramtha sounds when she channels him. So we're going to start off with a toast from the CD The Outrageous Radical Few by Ramtha, directly from Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. Now, this is from 1990. So it is a little bit older, and we're going to talk with Susan about her perspectives and her experiences as a student of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And if you want to email your question to the show, it's spiritualshow@gmail.com. So give us a call if you have any questions. If you've seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, you might be curious about Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. So give us a call now that Susan's here and she can answer your questions from her perspective. We want to make it really clear that obviously this is not Ramtha speaking through the radio today. This is Susan, who is a student of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. So her perspective is going to be what she's experienced herself and her interpretation of what Ramtha teaches. So stick around. It's going to be a really exciting hour. And here's Ramtha on CITR. Sing
lullabies. Masters, indeed, welcome.
Yeah. Let's have a drink.
Oh, my beloved God. That which you be,
that which you be.
The mystery,
the mystery,
the myth,
the myth,
the enchantment,
the enchantment.
My God, at times I disbelieve.
My God, at times I disbelieve.
Indeed, doubt,
indeed, doubt.
That which you be,
that which you be.
I am a pitiful and wretched being. Who hath designed my world?
Who hath designed my world?
By degrees.
By degrees.
In depth.
In depth.
And solidity.
And solidity.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Indeed, in my ignorance.
Indeed, in my ignorance.
How could I have ever?
How could I have ever?
Known that which you be.
Known that which you be.
Except in the things that I wanted.
Except in the things that I wanted.
Indeed that I needed.
Indeed that I needed.
O mysterious one.
O mysterious one.
I beckon you.
I beckon you.
To whatever form be you.
To whatever form be you.
O A formless be you.
Press nearer to my heart.
Indeed, my brain.
Indeed, my world.
That the brittleness of myself
may begin to shatter.
Oh, my beloved God.
For indeed, what be I?
Without that which created me. So be it.
So be it.
To life.
To life.
Indeed. Welcome and do be seated. I am honored indeed again at your assemblage and to that which is termed the younger students, aggressive students of the school, ye ought to leave. Welcome to an evening with me. Now, I'm going to address that which is termed the lot of you understanding. There is understanding with you to degrees. Some have quite a bit, some have only a fraction. But as long as there is a feeble attempt to understand, then I can address you on this teaching this night. And what do you suppose I'm going to teach you about? No remote view, eh? My beloved people, I want to talk to you about your boxes that you live in. The grid. Remember the grid? Yes, right there it is.
Hi, and that was Ramtha channeled through Jay-Z Knight. That was a recording of a toast from back in 1991 from Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. So this is Synchronicity. I'm your host, Marie, and we're here talking with Susan, who is a student of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. Now, if you have a question for Susan, the phone number to get on the air is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So, hi, Susan.
Hi, Marie.
How's it going today?
It's going great.
Good. Okay, so we just heard the toast from Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. So, is that something that happens at the beginning of every seminar down there?
Every time Ramtha comes out to give a teaching, he begins the teaching with a toast.
Okay. And so, Ramtha's School of Enlightenment is just across the border down in Yelm, Washington, right?
That's right.
Okay. And how long have you been a student of the school?
Just over 4 years.
Okay. And now one of the things that I heard in this toast is Ramtha says, and everyone seems to repeat what Ramtha is saying, is I am a pitiful and wretched being. And my interpretation of what Ramtha's teaching based on my limited knowledge of it is kind of to be a powerful being and to be well and happy. And so how do you interpret this pitiful and wretched being statement?
Okay. Like you said before, everything I'm going to say is totally my interpretation from my experience. This is definitely not how Ramtha would teach this. So when he talks about us as pitiful and wretched beings, I understand him to be talking about us as beings who have this like unlimited potential to create particular experiences for ourselves, and that what we are essentially is spiritual beings, light bodies, but we don't exist in that reality. We exist as though we're physical bodies. We exist as though we're physical bodies limited to a physical world that has to die like everything else, and that life ends with death. And he considers us to be pitiful and wretched, to be living so, so, so far below our potential as beings who think matter is greater than mind.
Mm-hmm. So is the intention of the school, your interpretation, to not be a pitiful and wretched being?
Definitely. That is the intention of the school, to realize, you know, what potential that we really, really have, to realize who we really are, that we're eternal, that we've never been born or died, that we're consciousness, we go on forever, and we can do anything instead of the little sort of mundane, repetitive, you know, addiction-based lives, I guess, that we all tend to lead here.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Well, what got you interested in Ramtha and the School of Enlightenment?
I think everybody's spiritual story is a really long one, so I'm going to give a bit of a brief version. I was attending this Reiki group. I studied Reiki as well, and one of the students at the group was on her way to a beginner retreat, and that's the first I'd ever heard of Ramtha. And when I first heard about Ramtha was an ancient being who channeled through Jay-Z Knight, I just thought that was the most ridiculous thing in the world. I couldn't believe anybody would take that seriously. Yet I felt compelled, and I just kept finding out more and more and more. And the next thing I knew, 4 months later, I had registered to go to this beginner retreat with this person. And as soon as I sat in Ramtha's audience, I had this feeling for the first time. And I've been on a spiritual path for a very long time. And it was the first time ever that I felt like, you know, there were no holes left in the framework, that all the questions could be answered by the framework that he presented. And, Cool. Yeah, just stayed with it.
So it sounds like when you originally thought, you know, this sounds kind of weird, I don't know if I believe this to be true, but then when you actually experienced it for yourself, it sounds like it kind of clicked for you and really felt like the right place to be.
Yeah, everything he said, there was a resonance that I had never experienced before in any other spiritual teaching or scientific teaching.
Cool. Now, I notice you say he because we're talking about Ramtha. Did it take you a while? Because Ramtha is channeled through a woman, Jay-Z Knight. Did it take you a while to stop saying she?
Yeah, it took me, I don't know how long. It took me a long time to stop saying she. And it took me a long time to start getting, you know, stop being really hung up about whether or not, in fact, he was this channeled being, and what the heck is a channeled being, and is this some kind of a gimmick. It took me a long time to decide that, you know what, I don't even care anymore whether or not he is who he says he is. The information he teaches has made a lot of sense. It's given me a chance to make tons of changes in my life that I really like. So I don't have any personal experience of who Ramtha really is. And he says he's a he, and that's good enough for me now. So I'm able to refer to him as a he now.
Cool. That's an interesting point because as you know, I am interested in the teachings of Abraham, which is also channeled through a woman, Esther Hicks. And now Abraham, the way they describe it is they are a group consciousness. They're not Abraham. It's just that people need a label. They need to be able to call it something. So that's the name that they agreed on was Abraham. But it's not actually this dude sitting up in the sky named Abraham. It's a connection to source, and it's inspired wisdom, basically. And so for me, I have the same feelings about channels. Like, I don't know. It's hard to know whether it's real or not, because I believe that Esther Hicks believes it's real. And I don't know much about Jay-Z Knight, but I'm sure that Jay-Z Knight believes that it's real and true. And really, it doesn't matter where necessarily it's coming from. If it's something that you feel aligned with, then you're going to take what you want from it. And I don't know about you, but when I'm listening to spiritual teachers talk and things like that, I think the really important thing is that take from it what feels right to you. And if there's something that feels totally wrong and ridiculous, I don't think anyone expects you to just believe it and take it at face value. It really is what resonates with you, what works for you, take that home, and what doesn't, just put it to the side. And before the show started, we were talking about how your answer to the pitiful and wretched being, today might be totally different from what your answer would be 5 years from now. So do you want to explain your views on spiritual development and how that changes?
Today, what I understand about different of Rampa's teachings is so, so much more complicated than what I understood 3 years ago or 2 years ago. In my own maturity, in my own spiritual development, things that I thought about 5 years ago have absolutely different meaning for me today. The more I contemplate something, the more I practice something, the more experience I get, things change. So from one day to the next, I may explain a concept very differently, and I'm okay with that. I'm talking about what's true right then.
Cool. What's true in the moment for you.
Yeah.
And that's really all we can speak from is the truth that we're experiencing in this moment, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's actually already time for a public service announcement. The time's going by really quickly. If you want to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487. We're talking with Susan, who is a student of Rampha's School of Enlightenment down in Yelm, Washington. And if you've seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?, Rampha is channeled through a woman called Jay-Z Knight. She was the blonde woman with the long hair on the movie What the Bleep, who had the bit of a funny accent. That's her channeling Rampha. So we'll be back in just a second after these public service announcements.
We're out at the Vancouver Pride Parade and Festival on Sunday, August 3rd, starting at 12 p.m. Stake out your spot and join 500,000 spectators from around the corner and across the globe. Come celebrate 30 years of the rainbow and join us in sending a message to the world that we're here, we're queer, and we're going to stay. Welcome to Pride. More info at vancouverpride.ca.
Hey, CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Welcome to the show. Good morning. I hope you're having a fantastic day. I know the sun isn't shining, but I'm sure all the trees and the plants out there are rejoicing to have the rain after quite a while without any rain. So, and the Pride Parade, that was a PSA for the Pride Parade, and that's happening on, what, Sunday? So, hope to see you there. Anyway, back to talking about Rampha's School of Enlightenment. What other teachers, if any, do you feel guided to study now that you've been studying under Rampha?
I have to say none. It's every time I pick up a book and start to read something by somebody that somebody else has recommended, soon after I get into it, the old experience comes back of there's just not the resonance. I feel like I can drive trucks through a lot of, you know, the framework that they're presenting. It just isn't a fit. And so I just continue to go back to Rampha. Or not go back to Rampha, but stay with Rampha and be content with what he's teaching. If I ever feel like there's a gap or a lack, you know, then I'll move on to someone else's teachings. But so far, I haven't had that experience ever with him, thinking I'm missing something.
Cool. That's really interesting because I think we were talking again just before the break. We were talking about how your knowledge kind of develops and your experience develops over time. And so, what you might have resonated with 10 years ago might have clicked just perfectly. And now that all of this new information has been, you know, opened up to you, it's not the same, right? And I don't think it's saying that one teacher is better than another. It's really about following what you resonate with and what you believe to be true. And, you know, sometimes we look back on things and we might say, even not just spirituality wise, but in our life, you know, oh, I can't believe that I thought that. I mean, even politically, our views change over time and our views change about ourselves and about the way, you know, how we feel about our bodies and our self-esteem and all of that. So it's just another form of development and growth, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what are some of the things that a beginner might expect? And again, we're talking from Susan's perspective. We don't have Ramtha here in the studio today. So this is what Susan has observed and experienced for herself. So what are the things that a beginner might expect to learn at Ramtha's School of Enlightenment?
When I first went to school, the beginner events were 9-day events, and now they're 4.5-day events. So the information is a lot more concentrated, and there's less opportunity to practice at that event what you're learning. The school focuses pretty equally, I would say, on presenting information and also giving you practices to apply that information and see whether or not you get the results that the teaching suggested that you could get from it. So at a beginner retreat, they would learn all of the key disciplines that we do. There's sending and receiving. There's a remote view.
So what's sending and receiving?
Sending and receiving is you would pair up with a stranger in the audience, somebody that you didn't know before, and you would sit separately, and you would be asked by the instructor, say, 10 questions, and the answer to the question you're supposed to write down on a piece of paper or draw a picture of. And the idea is that this person that you're paired with on the other side of the hall is supposed to focus on you and what you're writing down or what you're drawing a picture of. And then later you come back together and compare your answers and see how close you came. So that's one of the disciplines that you learn early, and we practice it every time we go to an event.
Cool. So is that sort of like mind reading?
I guess it is like mind reading.
But now would someone, and again, of course, this is from your perspective. So if you learn how to do this, do we need to be worried? I mean, the person who's writing down the answers, they're projecting that. It's their intention to send that information to you. Do we need to worry that you're going to be able to read our thoughts if we don't want you to?
I don't know if you need to worry about that. I don't have the discipline or the confidence to read what other people are thinking at will or on command. But more and more I do have the experience of being aware before somebody speaks of what they were going to say. Or if there's information I want, I seem to ask a question in my mind without saying anything, and the next thing I know, the person is answering it. So that kind of dialogue has been happening more and more, but I don't have the confidence or the skill to make it happen on command.
So if you're talking to someone and who seems normal, and maybe you're not going to like be able to delve into their mind and figure out that they're secretly a cross-dresser or something like that.
No,
personal secrets aren't going to be up.
No, mostly the way remote view works, I understand, or sending and receiving, is the person kind of needs to be thinking about it at the time. It needs to be on their mind in order for me to pick it up. If it's not on their mind, then I'm not going to. Then it won't be on mine either.
Cool. Okay, so can you explain? That's really interesting because, I mean, the whole being able to pick up, even if it's something that someone is intending to set out to let you know about, it's just interesting that, and how often when you started out and maybe compared to now, if you were to do that sending and receiving exercise, how accurate were you and were other people?
What I find for myself and at that first event is there's kind of this, there's a beginner's openness, I guess is what I call it. And so a lot of beginners score really high on the disciplines. We're not supposed to score because it's not a competition. However, I'm a competitive person, score really high on the disciplines. And then maybe for the next while, there'll be a bit of a drought. And that seems to be about you're really open to doing something that's extraordinary and you do it. And then later there's like this, oh, my God, that couldn't have happened. I don't have that ability. That's crazy. Nobody can do that. And you sort of talk yourself out of it and create all kinds of doubt. And then you have to work through, you know, getting rid of that doubt and then practice some more and the skill starts to come back. So I had that experience. I think I got 3 out of 7 at that first event, which was mind-blowing to me because I come from a very, very strong scientific background. So all of this is mind-blowing for me. And then I had a drought and now you know, it's not unusual for me to get two or three or four or five when I'm doing this activity.
Does it also depend on who you're doing it with?
To a point, you want to do it with somebody who is focusing and who is in, who's sending, like you said, who is like intending to send you this information. If you're doing it with somebody who's thinking about what they're going to have for lunch, it doesn't work so well.
Might you get a vision of grilled cheese sandwiches or things like that?
Definitely, you'd get a vision of grilled cheese sandwiches
or
at
whatever.
School, it would be a burger
sushi
or something.
Maybe.
Absolutely, you pick up the strangest things if
cool.
somebody's not focusing on the activity.
Cool. Well, we are talking to Susan, who is a student of Ramtha School of Enlightenment down in Yelm, Washington. Again, if you're just tuning in, Ramtha was seen on the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? Ramtha is actually channeled through a woman called Jay-Z Knight. And so if you saw the movie, she was the blonde woman with the long hair and with the funny accent. And that was her channeling Ramtha. She's actually American, so she speaks with a relatively average accent normally, but when she's channeling Ramtha, it sounds a little bit different. So if you want to get on the air and ask Susan a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can email a question to the show, spiritualshow@gmail.com. I'm just going to refresh my page here and make sure there aren't any questions waiting. And okay, so we've talked about the sending and receiving, and then you mentioned remote viewing, and I interrupted you. So please explain a little bit more about what you learn.
Okay, so remote viewing is if you focus on an image or conversation that's happening some other place and time. So it's basically learning to use your mind in a remote way, learning that your mind is not attached to your body, that it isn't actually bound by space and time. And you can put your mind anywhere in space and time and observe, hear, see whatever is happening in that space and get that information and be able to process it through your brain and know what, for example, is written on a piece of paper in somebody's desk drawer 1,000 miles away.
Wow. So is it sort of like astral projection? Is that kind of one and the same? Or
I'm not sure what people mean when they say astral projection, so I don't want to make that comparison because
okay.
I might get it wrong.
It's my understanding. I guess it's different for everybody, right? So you could, like, theoretically sit here and, well, hopefully not here because you should be paying attention to the interview. It's very important. But maybe when you have some quiet time at home, you could travel to Paris or Rome or wherever, Africa, somewhere like that.
In theory, yeah. People who are, I don't know, quote unquote, really thinkers or intellectual people tend to not be so strong at remote view. Part of the problem is that my mind has a tendency to want to figure things out right away or to create a solution or to create a framework. The only way to remote view successfully is if you keep your mind really, really super still and just let it be and not start processing the information as soon as it starts to come. So I've had some successful remote views, but there's lots of students in the school who are way, way stronger at remote view. It's not my greatest discipline.
Do you find that that is something that maybe you could do while you're dreaming? Have you?
I think that sometimes our dreams, I believe that my mind does go off and do its own thing when the body is asleep. And I believe that what it is doing could be called remote viewing. Sometimes I wake up and you still remember your dream and sometimes you don't. So I think there's a fair comparison between remote viewing intentionally and what happens, what the mind does when you're dreaming.
Okay. And have you noticed, I'm kind of interested in lucid dreams, and it's the same thing that you described, the beginner's luck. A lot of times when people set the intention to lucid dream, and if you don't know what lucid dreaming is, it's being aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming. So you might kind of wake up in your dream and realize this is a dream, And hey, now I can fly around the room. I like to fly in my dreams whenever possible. And so the first time that I set the intention of lucid dreaming, it happened. And it was really exciting. And I flew around a little bit. And then I kind of fell out of the lucidity and back to dreaming again. But after that, I've had a really big challenge to get that back and be able to lucid dream again. It doesn't seem to happen as easily as that first time.
I used to play with lucid dreaming a lot years ago when I was in therapy. I discovered it was a discipline that my therapist gave me to do. And I got quite good at it. And then I got cocky, sort of, you know, and started to try to figure it out and wasn't able to do it either for a very, very, very long time. And now I sort of do it more incidentally than consciously.
It just kind of happens.
It just kind of happens.
Sort of allowing and in the flow and whatever, but you're not going, oh, I have to have a lucid dream tonight.
No, but if I'm in a dream and I realize that it is a dream, then I'll create some intention while I'm in that dream and have a little bit of an adventure, like an intentional adventure.
Cool. And so you do find that you lucid dream more now?
Yes,
that's what it sounds
a lot.
Like you're saying.
Yeah.
But
lot.
Not intentionally. It just
I don't go
happens.
To bed and decide I'm going to do it, but I will often be aware that I'm in a dream.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's so fun. If you've had a lucid dream or you want a lucid dream, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You're listening to Synchronicity. I'm your host, Marie. We're talking with Susan from Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. And if you have a question for Susan about her experiences at the school, give us a call, 604-822-2487. We'll put you on the air. Or you can email your question right now to spiritualshow@gmail.com. So, okay. We covered sending and receiving.
And remote viewing.
And remote viewing. And are there any other things that a beginner would learn?
Another one of the core disciplines is called field work. And what we do in field work, there's about a 2-acre horse paddock. Jay-Z owns horses. She owns a ranch. So it's about a 2-acre horse paddock. And there might be 1,000 students at an event. All of us would be blindfolded. And we would have created in advance a couple of cards with images on them. And that image would be something that we wanted to experience. Maybe it would be a new car, maybe it would be a trip to France, maybe it would be lucid dreaming, whatever. So put some kind of an image on there. And then blindfolded, somebody else has put those cards on the fence, you know, taped them on the fence for you somewhere. You didn't see where they put them. And now there's probably 2,000 cards on this fence. And you're all walking around with blindfolds focused on your image, trying to hold it in a still mind. And the theory is that if you hold it stable enough, in an unambivalent way, you will arrive at that card and turn it over, and there it will be. So that's a very exciting discipline, and I've accomplished that myself, and it's pretty amazing when you turn that card over and you realize that you actually did it. So that's a core discipline, and you definitely would learn that at a beginner retreat.
Cool. I actually saw a video of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. They have a little promotional DVD that they send out. I think does Ramtha have a website?
He does, ramtha.com.
Ramtha.com. And I think if you go to that website, you can request their promotional DVD, or I got it from somewhere.
It's true, you can, yeah.
And in that DVD, you actually see people walking around with blindfolds, and I didn't know what that was until you just mentioned it. And I have another question about that field work. Is it possible, because a lot of people, I'm sure, want a new car or a trip to France or to lucid dream, right? So is it possible, or has it happened in your experience or anyone that you knew down there where you might arrive at a card that said the same thing. It wasn't necessarily your handwriting, but it had the same intention on it. Does that happen?
All the time. All the time that happens. Because you have 1,000 students, and the chances of many of those students putting the same things on there are very, very great. And if you happen to be closer to their card than you are to your card. Because it's really hard to hold that focus for any length of time, to be unambivalently focused on something. So you may turn their card over instead of yours. And Ramtha also talks about social consciousness, which is a level of consciousness kind of like you know, what we're in all of the time as humans in a social setting, and so that we are more drawn to what is kind of in, you know, what is kind of like in fashion, what is kind of like in the crowd. And so that's another reason why you might be more drawn to someone else's card than your own. It's more about a bonding thing, connecting with somebody else rather than holding your own future in mind.
So would it be still with your intention written on it? Or no, not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, although it often is. I've had the experience many times where I've been thinking about a friend who I know is on the field, and the next thing I know is I turn their card over.
Oh, okay. Lots. So you're thinking about them, and then you're attracted to what they're putting out into the world.
Right.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on the University of British Columbia campus. And this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Susan, who is a student of Ramtha's School of Enlightenment. And it's a mystical school. What's the name of it?
It's the School of Enlightenment. It's an ancient mystery school.
Ancient mystery school. That's the word I was looking for. If you have a question that you want to ask Susan about Ramtha, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And now, I asked this question last week, and I don't know, I guess it's something I really want to know. I seem to be asking everyone who has any kind of spiritual experience. Can you move things with your mind?
I have not yet been able to move things with my mind.
Have you witnessed anyone doing it?
I have. There's a fellow in the school who's been working for a very, very, very long time on being able to see through playing cards, and he's mastered that. He can see all 52 cards now very, very quickly, one after another. He moved from there to predicting where the ball was going to land on a roulette wheel, and is having some success with that.
That's a good skill to have.
And as he was doing that, he discovered that there were some times when he was able to actually move the ball a couple of slots over towards the number he had chosen. And from there, he decided to start focusing on that skill itself. And since then, I've observed him, you know, make a chip go from the top of a pile and go all the way across the chip and land on the table. So I've watched him in person move things with his mind, but I have not yet been able to do that myself, no.
Cool. And this is strictly from your perspective, but and your observation. You mentioned a chip, so is that like a poker chip?
It is.
Okay, so that's a really light object. Now, when we're moving things with our minds, it's not the same as like picking up. So like if I wouldn't be able to pick up a boulder, I'm not strong enough. And a poker chip would be easy to pick up. But when you're moving things with your mind, does the weight and the size matter?
The theory, of course, is that the weight and the size don't matter. I'm reminded of Star Wars when Yoda is getting Luke to try and pick his spaceship up out of the water. And Luke says he's just not strong enough to do that, although he's able to pick a pencil up with his mind. And Yoda's telling Luke, like, there's no difference, right? It's just, it doesn't actually weigh anything. So my mind tells me that it's harder to pick up a boulder than it is a chip. And so that's the reality that I'll get. Mm-hmm. But no, it wouldn't make any difference in the energy field because it doesn't weigh anything, really.
Cool. Oh, I love this stuff. It's so fun to talk about. So if you have a question, you want to get on the air and ask a question about Ramtha or psychic abilities or moving things with your mind, anything like that, give us a call at 604-822-2487. This is Synchronicity, spiritual talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And okay, so Ramtha, we at the top of the hour, we listened to the toast from one of Ramtha's workshops, I guess we could call it. And she mentioned the grid very briefly. Can you explain what the grid is, or your understanding of it?
Okay. The grid is a really technical concept. I'm going to use the metaphor of the Matrix for people who have seen the movie The Matrix. And the Matrix, the way it comes out three-dimensionally like a grid from your old, you know, chemistry textbook or your chemistry paper when you were in school, that's really what the grid is. It's a multidimensional. It's more than three dimensions, but it's a multidimensional grid that really is the plot, if you will, the mathematical plot of your reality, of your mind, of your consciousness at any particular moment. It sets the parameters for your experience, for what you have experienced, and for what you're capable of experiencing based on your personality, based on your openness. It is all of what you could potentially experience is within that grid. Now, whether or not you actually ever bring that into reality is whether or not you desire to or have the discipline to. So a grid is really a mathematical, if you will, I would say, representation of your personality or of your mind in the quantum field.
Cool. Okay.
That's not a great explanation of it, really. It's a very beautiful concept, and I've done it an injustice. But if you think about the Matrix and how, you know, it is all mathematical. At some point, he just sees everything in numbers and in mathematical formulas and in grids. That's kind of what it is. But
so sort of a behind-the-scenes template.
Yeah, if you've ever made a paper mache mask, right, and the first thing you do is you form the wire mesh, right, and then you put that over your face, and then you put the plaster on, and then you dry it, and then you smooth it, and then you paint it. Well, if you think of those as different levels of reality, and what I'm looking at right now is your face, but if I put it under a high enough microscope, eventually I would peel all of that away, and I would be able to see the grid, the mathematical framework that's you.
Interesting. So it seems like there are some different definitions of the grid and different uses and interpretations of the word grid, because last summer I participated in something called Fire the Grid, and it was, have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
So that seemed to be more energetically like just crisscrosses of energy floating around, and I don't know, it sounds like a little bit of a different concept than Ramtha's definition of the grid, or your interpretation of Ramtha's definition.
I think that Ramtha talks about everybody's individual grid is an aspect of the entire grid, and that the entire, if you will, universe, multi-universe, reality, however, whatever language you want to use to describe it, there is a grid that is its foundation, that is its basis in pre-matter, right? So we each have our own little personality grid, but it's not separate. So I think when my understanding of the fire, the grid was about let's project some intention into the greater grid, the larger grid, to try to create a bigger experience, if you will, or anyways, I think you know what I mean. So I don't think it's different grids. I think it's different, talking about the grid in different ways, but I think it's referring to the same grid.
Okay. So just this, I mean, the way that we are all connected, everything energetically is connected, especially if you've seen the movie, What the Bleep, and they talk about quantum physics, which I know is something that is taught a lot at Ramtha's School of Enlightenment, and quantum physics is kind of, I understand a little bit of the gist of it, but it's pretty complicated. People study for, you know, they get PhDs and five PhDs and to understand it. But it's, you know, we're all connected. If you believe in the theory of the Big Bang, that was like one little tiny piece of mass that blew up, and everything in the universe is connected to it. And in the movie What the Bleep, they say that theoretically, and they've actually proven this scientifically, that one little atom can be vibrating. And it was it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around it, because they were talking about particles, and they actually said that one particle was vibrating in two locations. So it wasn't actually two particles, it was one particle. But how can it not be two? Because it's in two different places. It just is hard to kind of conceptualize and understand from our perspective, I think.
Yeah, my understanding is in quantum physics, that's called superposition.
Superposition, yeah.
And in the film, it's where the young boy has got all the basketballs, right? And so every one of those basketballs exists in every single one of those positions. It exists in infinite positions. And only when he chooses which position to experience it in, do all the others collapse. And it's just in the one position, and then all their others, you know, enfold back, if you will, into the quantum field. But that while you're contemplating something, one thing is in every position.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not a quantum physicist, but I find it fascinating too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess to translate that into reality, I mean, I guess if you play basketball, it's a pretty practical example. But I don't play basketball, so we could be talking about what to do with our lives, like as far as a career or
time travel.
Time travel. Ooh.
If you wanted to time travel, it's the same idea. You would be both here and wherever it is you decided you were going to be in a different time-space dimension. And you, before you actually made that shift, you would have to be in both places at the same time in different realities, different times and space. So it's not any different, really, than the particle, although it's a lot harder to get your mind around.
Cool. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a little bit more about time travel and different dimensions and things like that in just a second. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. And coming up in just a few minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive. So you want to stick around for that because there's lots of nice, fun ska music to listen to start your day off, kind of mellow out after. We've been talking about this really complicated stuff, quantum physics and spirituality. And so now we're going to talk about, if you want to get on the air, the number is 604-822-2487. I can't be the only one with questions about this kind of information. It's such a fascinating topic. So if you want to get on the air and ask Susan a question, or you have an experience related to any of this stuff, being psychic or remote viewing, astral projection, lucid dreaming, other dimensions, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So the dimensions, this is something really, really fascinating. And I don't have a lot of understanding of it because, I mean, it's just kind of hard for me to fathom it's just like we live in this space-time reality. And even though if you've seen the movie What the Bleep or you've studied quantum physics at all, I've got my hand on the desk here and it feels solid. But I'm not actually touching this desk, right? There's atoms, like nothing actually touches.
There's an electromagnetic field in between you and the desk.
Yeah.
You're not touching it. No.
Is it just because it's my perception? It's my expectation that I'm going to feel it, so I do?
My understanding is it's that, and it's also that we're resonating at the same frequency as the desk. So it feels solid. It feels like my solid hand is touching this solid desk. But if we were able to take again a microscope and look at what's really happening, we would see atoms with tons and tons and tons of space around them and electrons going around them, and the desk would look the same, and you would see that nothing is actually touching anything. It's really just an electromagnetic field that's giving me the experience as though I'm having contact. And
cool. Well, even in, I think, 8th grade science or 9th grade science, we learn about atoms and how, like, the atoms in a cup of water are moving a lot quicker than the atoms in this desk. And that's what makes it more solid, is because the atoms, they're still moving at, like, really fast. But it's a lot slower in comparison to something like water or a gas or something like that.
There's a really cool movie called The Elegant Universe, and there's a book as well, but you can also get the film, and it's at libraries, and it's about quantum physics. And he really, really, really does a great presentation for like a lay audience of the quantum field. It's worth watching, I think, to help you understand, help me understand this stuff a lot more.
Cool. And you can get it at the Vancouver Public Library?
You can, yeah.
Cool. Okay. So I'm going to be ordering that up on my library card now. I wanted to get into talking about other dimensions. So, and time travel. And in your understanding of quantum physics and about the teachings of Ramtha, there are other dimensions.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit?
I don't have proof, of course, the same thing. I don't have proof that there's other dimensions, that there are other universes, that there are parallel realities at this point. I have to take all of that on faith. There's lots of quantum physicists who agree with that. It's not just Ramtha and spiritual teachers who are saying that. My strongest evidence for it, personal evidence, was an experience I had where I was doing a discipline and I was walking through a park in New Westminster, and my focus was on being 15 years in the future. And I hadn't actually elected a particular place, but I had elected to be 15 years in the future. And the next thing I knew, everything in front of me was sort of this sort of white cloudy plasma. And there were no structures. And a second ago in my awareness, I had been in this park. So I was pretty nervous. I was like, whoa, what is going on here? And I noticed my heart was pounding. And I started to look around. And I noticed that I was higher than the treetops. I was looking down, and I was looking down at all these deciduous trees. And it was a winterish scene. The leaves were off. And it was actually winter day that I was walking. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? How can I be above these trees looking down? And the more I asked these questions, I guess I brought myself back into my physical body, into my, you know, safer reality. But my heart was pounding, and I felt like I was spinning a million miles an hour like a top. And I quickly went home and went, whoa, that was really, really weird. And I remembered Ramtha teaching that it's sort of like that the image in What the Bleep, where the natives can't see Columbus and his ships coming because they have no experience of that reality, and you can't actually... Even though a reality is in front of you, you can't see it. Your brain can't process it because it doesn't know what it's looking like. And so he said, if you imagine yourself in a different place and you've never been there, you won't have form in it. It will just be kind of plasmic until you let the form come through. Anyways, when I went back to that park about 2 days later, was when I got the courage to go back and walk around. The most interesting thing was, is there are no deciduous trees in that park. They're all conifers. And so wherever I wasn't even in that park anymore. So I had left that park, and I had left that time for sure. I don't know if I went 15 years into the future, but I definitely was not in that park anymore, and I was looking down from a different place at deciduous trees. And there weren't any deciduous trees for blocks. So that's my only concrete awake experience with, I would call, time travel, moving into a different space-time dimension.
Wow. And so I know that... Someone might be wandering out there. Just to be clear, you weren't on any acid or mushrooms or anything like that.
No drugs. Not even coffee. I don't even take coffee before I do my walk in the morning. No drugs, nothing at all.
Okay. Cool. So it must have been quite a spiritual experience after the shock wore off a little bit.
Yeah, like I said before, I come from a very strong scientific empiricist background. And so for me, I really need those kinds of experiences to move on with Ramtha's teachings. I have to have my own solid experience before I can buy it. And that was one of the experiences that gave me a lot of confidence to listen more and try to experience more what he's saying. Because I have tons of personal experience now that what he teaches is accurate.
So does Ramtha say anything about the experience of déjà vu?
He's done some short teachings on déjà vu. I've only been in his audience for a little over 4 years, and he's been teaching for 30 years. So I understand he's done more teachings on déjà vu. One of the teachings I've had on déjà vu is very much like that Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day. He talks about déjà vu is that you have lived that life before, not just that moment, but you have lived this life before, and that this is an opportunity to change your path, to take a different destiny. So you're having that déjà vu, it's a remembrance, and you can either change it at that moment and move in a different way, or you can do the Groundhog Day and have the exact same experience and continue to live out that other lifetime again, to repeat it.
So when you say that you've lived that life before, is that kind of like your soul, your consciousness in multiple dimensions at the same, like simultaneously?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then I guess it's just our focus right now. So just like superpositioning, all of these realities could be happening at the same time, but wherever your focus is, that's going to be the reality, the one that you touch and feel.
Yeah. And he said we get these opportunities, sort of these kind of like plastic moments when you're not, you know, in your super linear, you know, three-dimensional, you know, brain. You might get, something might come through, you know, that your brain would ordinarily filter out. And that the deja vu can be like that. Something comes through before you realize it's coming and had a chance to stop it because it's so crazy. And you see it, but it is an opportunity to go, hey, wait a minute, I think I've done this before. Maybe I'll do it differently this time. But we tend to be so excited by the deja vu that we do it the exact same way.
Yeah. Kind of throws us off.
Throw away an opportunity.
I listen to Abraham, and the way Abraham describes deja vu, in my understanding of it, my perception is that deja vu is because what Abraham teaches is that, and I think this is similar to what Ramtha teaches, is that once you set that intention out there into the universe, your desire, whatever it is, it's done. It's already created. It already exists out there. And Abraham teaches that you just need to get into vibrational alignment with that desire, which is kind of similar. I think that Ramtha sort of says it seems like it's really the same concept. It's just kind of worded differently.
I think it's quite similar the way you're describing it.
Okay. So is it like another? So I guess because Abraham doesn't talk about, I know I'm stumbling here over my words. It's hard to formulate thought and really wrap my mind around it because it's just so out there. You know, I mean, I believe that it's possible, but you can't see it. You can't touch it. The concept is just so foreign. But Abraham says, you know, it's out there. So I guess they don't talk about dimensions so much as just it existing, it's done, line up with it vibrationally. But I guess you could interpret that as that it exists on just in a different dimension.
It's superposition. It exists in every possible space and time until you decide, right? Until you choose, and then you're going to experience it right now in here and now, or not, or just leave it out there to unfold and re-unfold and infold and unfold and infold until you actually select it.
Cool. So is there actually, there's so much more I want to ask, but we are going to be wrapping up in just a couple of minutes. So I want to give you the opportunity if there's anything else that you wanted to add before we wrap up that I didn't ask about.
One of what's been really, really valuable for me about going to the school and listening to Ramtha's teachings is he's been teaching for the last 30 years about the climactic changes and the geophysical changes of the planet that we're starting to see now. I think that we've been seeing them for the last 10 to 15 years, but they seem to be escalating and becoming more concentrated. So he's been talking about that for a long time, and he's been preparing his students to survive what he talks about as being a very, very, very cataclysmic time on the planet. And I think the Mayans talk about December 2012 as being the time when there's going to be this major, major, major shift, probably a shift in the poles. And Ramtha talks about that too. So for me, one of the most valuable things is that he helps me stay out of denial about what's going on with climate change, what's going on with the environment, what's going on with earthquakes and tectonic movement and the oceans and the ice shelves and all those things. And I guess what I would like listeners to be aware of is that if they're interested in knowing how to survive, how to figure out how to not kind of go down with a tsunami, or go, I think I'm sounding like a fanatic, and that's not what I mean. All I want to say is that I think Ramtha has a lot of really practical information and a lot of practical guidance to offer to us right now about how to stay healthy and alive on a planet that seems to be quite chaotic. And I think, yeah, people who even aren't interested in the school for its spiritual reasons might be interested in it for some other practical reasons. And I think it's worth checking out right now.
Cool. And so that's at ramtha.com, mm-hmm. ramtha.com. And it's been really interesting talking to you. Thank you so much for coming, Susan. I wish we could, we could talk about this all day and all of our questions would never be answered. But one thing I have to ask about the changing of the poles and stuff, I've heard about that and it's quite a freaky deaky scenario. And I don't really want to think about it. If it does happen and I get swept away by a tsunami, well, I guess that's what's going to happen. I mean, I don't want to spend the rest of my life worrying about it until it does happen. But we were talking about kind of alternate realities. So out there must be a perfect Earth that is living, you know, in complete balance, like it always intended to live in before we started mucking it up. So there must be one there in another superposition.
I would say there must be, not only because according to quantum physics that every possibility exists simply because it's been thought about. The Mayans talked about the age of Aquarius coming. Now, you don't have to be into astrology or whatever, but an age of peace and light and spirituality where we get past the sort of polarized, dichotomous lack existence that we're living in right now. I think that there definitely is a time and space where the Earth is very different and the people who are living on it have very different ideas about how to live our lives. We're much more spiritual beings.
Cool. So is there like a way, do you think, that we would be able to access that before our planet flips upside down? Or, well, the poles would change. So that's a whole nother show that we could talk about. But is it theoretically possible for all of us to get together? I think that means it's about time to end our show. So if you want to hear more about Ramtha's School of Enlightenment, visit ramtha.com. You've been listening to Synchronicity, Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic day and a fantastic weekend, and I'll be back next week, same time, same station.
Of house and Jupiter.